Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back. Glad to be with you, ladies and gentlemen. And we've got a great show lined up for you, continuing a little bit in the theme of business and entrepreneurship. And so to do that, we have another wonderful returning guest. Ruth King is our guest today. She is a profitability master and serial entrepreneur. I love that. And you'll understand why we love having Ruth back on the program. The website for our discussion today, profitabilityrevolution.com. Lots of great information there. And the book Ruth has out, The Courage to Be Profitable, Get and Stay Profitable in Less Than 30 Minutes a Month. Not an unreasonable expectation there. And she's written several other books, The Ugly Truth About Small Business, Ugly Truth About Managing People, Ain't It the Truth? And I'm very glad to have Ruth come back and talk to us about the 7 mistakes that small business owners make as they grow. Quick reintroduction of Ruth. She's a serial entrepreneur. And what does that mean? Well, she's owned 7 businesses in the past 30 years. And one of her businesses helps small business owners truly understand and profit from their financial statements. She's done a wide variety of things over her career. She holds an MBA in finance from Georgia State University and has been on numerous media outlets, so we're very glad to have her on the program. Welcome back, Ruth.
Thank you, David. I'm glad to be back.
Well, we're very happy to have you, and you've got a nice little lineup here of a discussion for us, you and I, to have. And I got to tell you, I really think that small business owners, with all the weight of the world on them, and they are the backbone of the American economy, no arguing that fact. And they have, and I can speak to it as a small business owner myself, they have a lot of issues to deal with. They have whatever service they are providing or goods they are delivering, whatever they're doing to make money, they have that part of their work and responsibility. And then they have the business itself, and they have a whole host and variety of issues that they may face. You know, the classic strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats, and, you know, it's regulatory this, and it's taxes that, and it's banking here, and it's employees there, and it's, you know, lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. Am I right?
Absolutely.
So you could hear that fresh off of a little of something that popped up that frustrated me that I'm thinking about as I'm describing that to you. That's external to my control, and of course that is, you know, the nature of business. But you know, you have to embrace those things and deal with them. And so there are mistakes though that small business owners make that you've seen repeated, I am sure.
Oh yeah.
And we need to get to those, because you know, you can't reach for what you're trying to accomplish if you're just stumbling over some basic stuff.
Agreed. And it's, you know, sometimes it's not as obvious as it might think. But, you know, over the 30 plus years that I've been working with small businesses, I have seen every single one of these more than once. And I try, and what we do on with Profitability Revolution, to help, you know, help them avoid all of these things. And sometimes it's like, yeah, I did that one.
Yeah. Well, they say experience is the best teacher. But if you can have somebody else tell you what you don't have to experience, and, you know, trial and error, then, you know, you're that much further ahead. So I know that number one on your list, and I love this because it's so easy for a business owner to fall prey to the pursuing, you know, unlimited, unending, too much is not enough growth at the expense of never turning a profit.
Right. Yeah. It's volume is vanity and profits are sanity. And it's, you know, it was told to me probably 1990 by a person who was giving a speech for one of the meetings I was going to. And I've totally forgotten his name, but I've been using it ever since. And so one day I'm teaching a class and I mentioned it, and somebody Googled my name and I came up first with that saying. So now if Google says I own it, I own
it's yours
it.
Now. I like that. Hey, I like that. If you can't remember who you quoted, then it's technically yours, right?
And it's true, because, you know, our economy, our news media, for the most part, you know, it's like growth sales. And they, you know, when they do even the Fortune 500 companies, they do, you know, year-over-year sales increase. They don't do year-over-year profit increases, which is what they should do.
Exactly.
Because it's important for what you generate, but it's more important for what you keep.
Yeah, that's, I've always said, it's not what you make, it's what you keep. And now here's again, conveniently being a small business owner, here's the mindset, Ruth. It's well, in order to have the sustained profitability, I've got to forego profitability on the front end, and to get to that critical mass, to get to that critical size, that allows me to leverage and get my rate per hour and my profit per hour and all those things that small business owners. So how do you get that balance?
Well, it as you said, it is a balance. Mm-hmm. So what really happens when you do that is you have to budget. And I know that's a bad word for a lot of people. They just don't want to sit down and they don't want to do a cash flow budget or they don't want to do a profit and loss budget. Mm-hmm. But you really and truly have to.
You do have to, and you'll be pleased to hear this, you know, because of my background, Ruth. I have a hard time, quite candidly, making decisions without a spreadsheet open.
Yeah, so, yeah, given your background, I wouldn't be surprised to hear you say that.
So I do like to make decisions quickly as a business owner. I like to, you know, use my intuition. Guilty. However, you know, you've got to, and budget is very much an unpleasant word when it comes to our personal lives. Because we don't really want to be inhibited and we want to live and all those good things. But from the business standpoint, you know, you don't have to necessarily be a bureaucratic entity and have this thing, you know, weighing on you and, oh my gosh, we got to get together and quote unquote talk about the budget. But you do have to be realistic and you got to look at the numbers. And when I make decisions, I'm plugging the numbers in and saying, well, what then? What if? What if? What if? What if? And it's really an ongoing rolling budget that I'm always working on. And I think that's the perspective a lot of business owners have to keep in mind.
Yeah. And another really good example, one of my clients was considering purchasing a building. And so we cash flowed it. We put together a cash flow budget. And
there
it turns out, given what he projected with sales and what all the expenses were going to be, and these are cash expenses, it wasn't only, you know, increasing the rent a little bit, but it was also the utilities and the moving and the redoing of the business cards and da-da-da-da-da-da. When we cash flowed it, it turned out that he couldn't afford the building because his cash flow went negative.
How about that?
And so, you know, he looked at me and he goes, I can't do this, can I? I said, no, you really can't. And it just totally made the decision for him. It wasn't something that, okay, I'm wrestling with, should I do it, should I do not, shouldn't do it. And it turned into something that the numbers didn't lie because we knew his numbers pretty well. And when we put what the cost would be and time and everything else like that, he couldn't afford it. And it was like it was over. This big weight got lifted off of his shoulders.
Yeah, that's very good because, you know, and you spoke a minute ago about vanity versus sanity. And, you know, owning a building for a lot of business owners, that certainly... Let's just call it what it is. It plays into our egos. And it's like, hey, you know what? It's my building and doggone it, you know. That kind of mentality. But, you know, when you run the numbers, you got to run them. And it's the same with hiring. You know, it might feel good. It might be an indication of growth and success, but not necessarily profit to hire somebody. And when you run the numbers, you know, can you leverage your time or become better at what you do or provide better service that will translate into better customers, more profitable relationships by hiring that person? You got to run the numbers.
Yeah. Absolutely. And focus on the bottom line. I mean, here's, you know, somebody once asked me, well, how much should I grow? And the formula that I always use is net working capital annualized sales divided by net working capital, which is, and you know what I'm talking about. Basically, you annualize your sales. So if you did $1 million in sales last year and your working capital, which was current assets minus current liabilities, and your that was 100,000, and that equals 10. Anything over 10, you're probably growing too fast.
Mm. Okay.
And that's about a rule that I use all the time. Under 10, you're okay, but if you're at zero, you've got to grow at least by the rate of inflation.
I'm going to have to go back to my spreadsheet after our conversation, Ruth, and double check, make sure I'm not violating your growth trajectory or velocity. You know what, though? It's always good to kind of come back and look at where you are. And, you know, the big thing for a lot of entrepreneurs, of course, is there are different phases of their business. But the thing that everybody craves, even as much as growth, I would dare argue, is stability.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the, you know, because that's what a lot of entrepreneurs signed up for, is maybe the lifestyle of being an entrepreneur and growing their own business, you know, not having to put their tie on until after lunch if they don't have a meeting with somebody. But whatever it is, that's their choice, and that's what they get that through the stability.
Right. And it's not to say if you're over 10 that you're in trouble, because if you're over 10 and you have enough cash flow, then you're okay. But the over 10 is the thing where the warning signs should be going on in your head and say, okay, I'm growing really fast. Do I have enough cash to sustain this growth? Again, we go back to our spreadsheet.
Excellent. No, you actually quantified something, Ruth, that there's been around for a long time. You know, I've heard it said, and I know you know this, but and people listening to this program, the business folks have heard it bantered around that if you grow too quickly, you'll outstrip your working capital. And they probably have wondered, how do you quantify that? And you just did. So thank you for doing that, because that, you know, you do have uncontrolled growth will kill a business.
Yeah, it will definitely kill you.
All right. Well, it's about profit and the profitability master. Ruth King on the line with us. ProfitabilityRevolution.com is the website. We'll grab a quick break and come right back and spend a little more time talking to Ruth. We got six more things to get to. Let's go.
What if in the time it takes you to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? Well, if you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. It's as simple as that. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? And there's no cost or obligation to meet with David. All you need to do is simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com for more information.
And we're back. Ruth King on the line. Thank you very much for coming back, Ruth. We're glad to have you. ProfitabilityRevolution.com is the website. Profitability is what it's all about. And, you know, we've got six more of these mistakes that we need to get to, Ruth. And it's unfortunately only a 30-minute show. So let's.
We can go all day.
I know we can. And so we're gonna kind of pick up some speed here. And for those businesses that maintain an inventory, talk to me about why you've called inventory a bet. I mean, why is that?
Well, go around and look at your warehouse. For those of you who do have inventory, you have paid for every single part and every piece or piece of equipment that is on your shelves or in trucks or, you know, wherever else it is. And you've bet. You've bought something and you have, okay, I can sell this, but can you really or not? I mean, if you go around in your warehouse and you look at, all right, I've had that on the shelf for a year or 2 years, and I've seen 30 years on shelves over the years, you bet that you could actually sell something, and you lost. You actually lost because it's still sitting there. So, you know, if you buy something that's going specifically for a project or for a specific job or something like that, that's not inventory. That's a done deal.
Yeah.
There is no bets in there. But what's on that warehouse shelf is a bet. And that's your hard-earned cash, i.e. back to what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
That is the thing that is critical. So inventory is a bet. Make sure you make good ones.
Good point. And if it's there that long, it's let's not deceive ourselves, right, about our assets and what we have really to work with the business and the balance sheet. And you know, you have to have, that's the other thing with business search, of course, Ruth, is we've got to have accurate financial information. And every time we have any type of cash flow, anything going on, the controller that works for me at my company, he keeps track of all that and lets me know anytime we have anything that's significant. So I'm always clear about my financial position, and that allows an ongoing approach to making good business decisions, just to be always tuned into the numbers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that really leads us to the next number three, which is your balance sheet is more important than your P&L.
Well, do tell why. I have my ideas, but you speak to it, Ruth. Why is the balance sheet? I'll bite. Why is the balance sheet more important than your P&L?
Because your balance sheet shows you true profitability. Your P&L only shows you whether you're profitable for a specific period of time, either a month or a year or something like that.
Excellent.
Yeah, balance sheet lets you know on a long-term basis, are you getting more profitable or less profitable? It'll tell you whether you can pay your bills, whether you've got a debt problem, whether you've got a collection problem. You know, everything comes off your balance sheet. It's not that your P&L is not important, because you got to know where you are every month, but your balance sheet is a picture of the health of your business for a long period of time.
Excellent. Yeah, and it also gives you a real measure of that, like you said, the cash on hand and what you have that's viability of the company, and profit and loss statements, which hopefully is a profit statement. I don't use the word profit and loss in my office. It's called a profit statement. And it can be mislead a little bit, because if you're accruing, you could have accruals on there that are just not giving you a true measure. So you really need to get to the nuts and bolts.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure you find, like I do, that most small businesses look at their P&L or your profit statement from your perspective, and they look at the bottom line and say, okay, I made a profit, throw it in a drawer, and they never, ever look at their balance sheet, which is so much more important than your P&L.
Mm-mm-mm. Mm. Yeah. Interesting. Very good, Ruth. All right. And so next up, the other thing that people need to be very cognizant of, and gosh, you know, small businesses are so dependent on this because you don't have thousands of employees. It's the right people that are your most important asset. Do you, and you're putting that on the balance sheet?
Actually, that's, you know, one of those assets that walks out the door
exactly.
that you really don't put on the balance sheet, unfortunately.
We should. We
yeah,
should.
We should. Figure out how to do that and let's start a new revolution. How's that?
I like it. Well, you know what, though? The amount we do in some respects because we, I'll tell you what, it shows up every payroll.
It shows up
because it hits cash and it, or maybe payroll liabilities to, you know, for payroll taxes. And it certainly shows up on the P&L. And if a business owner out there, Ruth, does not know what it costs for that person to be at the office or wherever they are working for the company, then there again, there's some a little bit of either lack of important information for the business owner to make decisions or some delusion there that they're just not tuned in because I know exactly what every single person costs every month. All in. I know what they cost.
Right. And it's not only the cost part of it, is are they productive? I mean, we're not a Fortune 500 company, so if one person isn't pulling their weight, what is that, you know, 0.001% of, you know, a 3,000-person company? But, you know, suppose you have 5 people or 10 people. Every one of those 5 or 10 people has to be productive, or even if you only have one, and they're sitting there surfing the web or on Facebook or something like that all day, and you're paying them to do that, not a good idea.
Yeah, that's something that I would probably, you know, I know you had shared with me some advice you had if you get angry to leave. I think I'd have to on that one if I saw somebody on Facebook.
Yeah.
You would probably hear the explosion, Ruth, if that ever happens. You'll hear the explosion.
In Atlanta. Okay.
Yeah, all the way from Daytona Beach. Yeah. So, you know, these are very important things, and they are, people are assets, and they are the most important asset because without it, what do you really have?
You don't. And productive people, I say the right people, but the right people are very productive. And, you know, one of the measures that you can actually use is what I call the profitability ratio or percentage compensation ratio. And it's really easy to do this. So what you do is you just take your total payroll plus your payroll taxes for a month, for example, you know, just FICA, Medicare, state, and federal unemployment, and divide it by your sales for that month. And that will tell you, let's say it's 40%. That means that for every dollar that comes in the door, 40 cents you paid out in payroll and payroll taxes.
Right. Yep. You got to know that number, too. That's
you absolutely have to know that number. And if that number starts creeping up, what's going on?
Oh, you're getting out of whack.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the point about, you know, noticing when you have a smaller group of employees. You know, we have a total of 20, including myself, Ruth, and you know, if one or two people are not productive, we're going to feel it versus, you know, the 1,000-person company. And it's kind of like being in a boat and you're all rowing. You know, if one person stops rowing and you're in a small boat, you're going to notice. If it's a Viking ship with 1,000 rowers, you're not going to know.
Correct. And you know, that's why small businesses are so important, that every person who is hired by a small business really is productive. And the interesting part, you know, there's a caveat to that, is that you have to train them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You have to. And that also is an integral part of the understanding that they are an asset, and your people that have more experience are an asset, and you need to make the most of them.
Yeah.
And very good.
Not only that, and they're not mind readers.
No, they're not. No, they're not. If they were, then they would be running the show and or whatever they'd be doing. But it's good stuff, Ruth. Ruth King is our guest today, Profitability Master and Serial Entrepreneur. ProfitabilityRevolution.com is the website. And the book, The Courage to Be Profitable, Get and Stay Profitable in Less Than 30 Minutes a Month, a number one Amazon bestseller. We'll grab a quick break and we'll be right back with Ruth. Stay right there.
Are you looking for a trustworthy local advisor for your investment and retirement planning, but you're not sure how or where to begin? Start by looking for a certified financial planner practitioner. Visit www.cfp.net to search for an advisor in your local area who's earned this highly regarded professional certification. Pick 3 CFP practitioners. Set an appointment and interview them. Ask questions. Listen carefully to their answers. Check references and research their firms with the Better Business Bureau. This PSA is brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back. Ruth King on the line with us, Profitability Master, ProfitabilityRevolution.com. And really appreciate your perspective, Ruth. It's great to have you back. So let's talk about customers, you know, clients. This is, of course, again, the lifeblood. You know, we talked about employees being so critical. Well, let's go a step further. Without customers, we don't have a company.
Right.
And so, you know, we want to hold on to every single one of them, right? Or no?
No. You know, customers do write your paycheck. However, you want, like, you have the right people, you want the right customers. And let me, I'll talk about this one. And I talk about firing with ruthless compassion, and it's funny because my name is Ruth. But anyway, how this all came about and how I found out that it really and truly does work well is I had a client, probably 15 years ago, and they were having really, really bad problems with some of their customers. It wasn't that they weren't paying their bills, but they always wanted a discount or they always had a complaint, and they were rude to their people. I mean, there were all these different reasons. And so the owners of this company decided one December, that's it. We're firing all these people. And they had the guts to do it. So they sat down, they went through their entire customer list, and they fired about 10% of their customer base.
Wow.
And they did it with what I call ruthless compassion. They went to each one of them and said, we're not going to be doing your business next year. Here are three people who can potentially do it. And the three of them, who were three partners, they were scared because they thought they were going to go out of business the following year.
Yeah.
What happened? Revenues increase, profits increase.
Which, of course, is counterintuitive, and it is very scary. I can understand that. And, you know, the reality is, and again, this is also a, you know, the school of hard knocks. Any business owner that thinks that they can keep every single customer or client happy all the time is just deluding themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not going to happen. And, I I'm in the very personal business of financial services, Ruth, and so I, of course, love the idea, the notion of keeping every client satisfied, and we do work hard to do it, but, you know, we're dealing with people, not robots.
Yep.
And so there's going to be that potential, and, you know, so I'm very pleased to say we have a very, very high retention rate in the, you know, upper 90s, 97, 98, 99% somewhere. I think it's really actually closer to 99%, but there's still going to be that person that now and then, you know, it's just not a fit, or they really want something different than what you offer, and not everybody's going to choose to do business with you.
Right. And the really interesting part of this story is that about two or three, and they did this subsequently, and they still do it every year, is about two or three years later, some of those that they fired initially came back and said, we really want you to do our business, you know, work with us again and provide this service to us. Because they really found out that they were getting good service and they were getting good quality work and things along those lines. And they said, okay, you can come back, here are the rules.
Yeah, it lets you do kind of a reset.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it reminds me of what Jack Welch used to do with his company. It was General Electric, right?
Yep.
And he would let go of, what, the bottom 10% of employees?
Yep. Woo! Yes,
yeah, that's ruthless and brave, I suppose, at the same time. Interesting. All right. So continuing our conversation about clients, talk to me about working with clients and maybe where people put their time and maybe how clients can be part of a company's marketing strategy.
All right. Then number seven is the market from the inside out. Well, what does that really mean in English? You know, most of us think about advertising on television or radio or the newspaper or on the internet or something else like that. And we're advertising to everybody, and we're sending our message to everybody, which means nobody pays attention. Because you're just, you know, how many people can actually use you? I mean, like, David, if you went and instead of being in Daytona Beach and you advertised, you know, throughout Florida, I mean, you might be able to handle everybody outside of Florida or even Atlanta or something like that. But the issue is the first people you communicate and talk to and market to are actually your clients, and these are the people who are loyal to you and you are loyal to them.
Right.
And they listen to your messages, they're more likely to read it, they're more likely to ask questions about them, and they're also more likely to buy more. You know, your current customers are the ones who are going to buy either more often or they're going to buy more of what you sell simply because you're presenting to them and they already know and trust and like you. And then, you know, once you've got your client base that you talk to, and if you only have enough marketing money to just market to your client base, that's all you do.
Mm. So start there always.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you're on to me, Ruth. We are increasing the breadth of services that we do offer our clients. You know, we traditionally done investment focus work, financial planning, insurance products, annuities, things like that as well, where they fit for the client. But we also, after many years of requests, we do tax returns as well. We do trust and estate planning now. And so we have expanded the breadth of our service because not only because of the request from the client, but it's just such an we already have that relationship, and it just makes a very easy, really, it's really easy because we already have that relationship and we can continue to support them and provide what they need.
Absolutely. You know, and if some of your listeners have, you know, product-oriented companies or product-oriented, you know, companies, and you know, you mentioned yourself, our clients asked us for X.
Yeah.
Well, I'll bet if you listen to your client and you're selling a widget, your client is going to tell you, I want widget with this, or I want widget with that. And if enough clients say, I want a widget with this, maybe you should pay attention.
Good point. Well, and I know that we have one more. That was the seven mistakes that you've seen small businesses owners make as they try to grow. And we've got time, 1 minute left, Ruth, for a bonus comment or area, a subject that I know is really something that you are tuned into, and that is being in a position to protect yourself from your company being just destroyed from the inside out. And you say the job of a good embezzler is to become the trusted bookkeeper.
Right. Send your bank statements home. That is the first line of defense. And you know, we only have less than a minute to do this. But number one is always send your bank statements home. It takes 5 minutes to go through your bank statements. Then the bookkeeper can actually balance a checkbook after that. And then the bookkeeper should never, ever have check signing authority, because then they can write any check they want, including one to themselves.
Yeah, that's probably the easiest and deadliest. That is like the worst thing a business owner can do, is to have the bookkeeper have check signing authority.
No. All right.
Don't do that. Okay. Ruth King, ladies and gentlemen, Profitability Master. You see why she's back on the program, profitabilityrevolution.com. And the book is Courage to Be Profitable, Get and Stay Profitable in Less Than 30 Minutes a Month. Ruth, thank you so much for coming back. And you know we'll have to have you back.
Thanks, David. I enjoyed being with you, and I hope I helped your listeners.
Oh, you did. Thank you so much.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.